There's times that in our services we have a sacred quietness, and we revert with quietness. And there's times that we offer him praise. You'll find in the word of God that when the people of God prayed, the Bible says in the book of Acts that the church lifted their voice and praised. And it was a great noise abroad. Amen. And when the praises go up, the glory comes down. And we're so blessed today that we could give God that honor and that praise and celebrate what he's done for us this morning. If you have your Bible today, we're so honored that you're here, every one of you. Matthew, the 16th chapter, is where I want to go to today. And again, happy Father's Day, and with great, great, great people that are before me that God has blessed. And I want to honor you this morning, but I want to honor the Lord more than anything. Amen. I want him to have a happy Father's Day from our worship. Amen. Praise God. Matthew, the 16th chapter, the Gospel of Matthew, 16 and verse 26. Beautiful passage of scripture here. And in reading it, Jesus is speaking, and he said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What would you give in exchange for your soul? Today I want to talk to you that the greatest waste is not wasted money, wasted talent, or wasted opportunities. The greatest waste is to spend your life gaining what cannot last while neglecting what will last forever. Are you thankful today that God has given us something that's everlasting? Amen. Would you put your Bible on your chair with me right now? And I want you to take your hand, and I want you to put it over your heart today and pray for you. Lord, help me to cherish what you have given, what you have paid for, and Lord, what you have placed in my hand, in my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me to be a good steward of the things that you have honored me with, that I would live for you and bless you and invest in your kingdom. Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor today, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen, and you may be seated. The greatest waste. What is profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? The world offers temporary rewards, but God has eternal rewards. I have in my account at Holiday Inn Express, IHG, I have a reward system. When I spend a night at a hotel, they give me points. On my phone, there's an app for McDonald's that on Sunday mornings when I go get my coffee on Sunday morning, yes, I make coffee for my wife every other day because it says it's biblical, Hebrews. But when I go through McDonald's and I get my coffee on Sunday mornings, immediately there's a point system, and sometimes I get a free coffee, sometimes free food, because of the points and those rewards that I get. There's a lot of rewards that you could get even from Discover Card, different things that points. But friend, I got more points that are waiting on me that one day I hope to cash in. Amen. That's called eternal rewards. But there's a lot of people that are more fixed on their life here on earth and on the things that really don't count. One day every bank account's going to be left behind. Every title would be surrendered. And every possession would belong to somebody else. But your soul will live forever. We're living in a generation that is obsessed with self. We live in a generation that has made self the center of everything. No, it's my happiness that matters. It's my plans that are important. My comfort is the center of all my focus. My schedule, my desires. And when self sits on the throne, God gets pushed in the margins. And many people want God as Savior, but very few want him as Lord. I want to just challenge this congregation today. I know him as Savior, but I'm so thankful to have him as my Lord every day. And if he's not Lord of all, how can he be Lord at all? Amen. So many people proclaim, oh, I have God, I'm a Christian. But the scripture said in their works, they deny him. I want my personal life, everything that I do and the results of my life, not to deny him, but to point to him that he is behind the wheel of my life. Let me ask you the question. Many people say when you ask them, do you have the Holy Ghost? And they will say, yes. Do you have the Spirit of God living in your life? My question today, does the Holy Ghost or the Spirit have you? Many can testify that they have received the Holy Ghost. But the greater question, does God have your life? Does he have direction in your desires? Can he influence your schedule? Can he govern your attitude? Can he shape your priorities? Can God say no to you? Can God say woe to you? Can God direct you? Can God correct you? And can God instruct you? When the Lord is in the center of your life, he's not just the one who pulls you out of the ditch, but he's the one that molds you, shapes you, and masters your faith. We teach about faith, but faith must be exercised. It must be something that grows and builds up. The Bible says we build up our faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. And you know what it all boils down to? A Spirit-filled life is more than an experience. It's a surrendered life. Many people surrender and they come and say, Lord, I'll give you all. They'll give you all their, they give God all their sin. They give all their problems. They want the Lord to wash them. They want the Lord to take the icky, sticky, junky off of them. And Lord, take all the stink off of me. But they do not give themselves to God. Hear me, friend. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The cross is not just for a day thing. Surrender is not just for a one moment deal. A moment of consecration where you come before God. It's not an intersection where you feel conviction on a day, but it's an everyday relationship and a covenant that you make with God. Amen. We want God to do his part, but we do not do our part. Somebody said, man, that's works. Don't you realize that when you follow Jesus Christ, amen, your works are going to change too. It's going to point that the Lord is on the scene in your life. And one of the things that you will find about a person, about their affection, the things they love will get in their doings. It will be evident and apparent in their conversation and their works. And if a man loves to fish, he's going to talk about fishing. If a woman loves to go to thrift stores and garage sales, guess what she's going to talk about? And if you like good deals, you're going to talk about the good deal that you got. But when the Lord is at the center of your affection, he's also going to be at the center of your attention. Many people, amen, could spend hours doing other things. They could spend hours scrolling on their phone, hours watching other things and pursuing what they love. But what about the things that God loves? Have you got to the place that you started loving what God loves and start despising what God despises? Amen. Friend, amen, when you love the things of God, amen, pretty soon you'll quit having a struggle, amen, giving God your attention, giving God your affection, and giving God your life. He'll have your conversation. He'll have your mindset, and he'll have the way you conduct your life. Amen. You can tell when somebody struggles to give God their attention because their life is constantly in turmoil. And they come to God like when we need a spare tire. Open the trunk, let's find God. I'm thankful that my God's not my spare tire. He's the main wheel in my life. Hallelujah. Are you thankful that God's still on the throne today? We desire God's blessings. We want God's peace. We want God's power. We want God's heaven. But often we give him only the leftovers of our time. Leftovers. My deal today, don't waste your time. If you're a fence rider, don't ride the fence. Don't drag your feet. Don't treat eternity like an afterthought. Get in the boat today. Get all the way in and serve God with all your heart. Amen. Why waste your time doing other things? Amen. When you could have the greatest blessing by having God aboard your life. Amen. Serve God with your whole heart. Pray wholeheartedly. We just don't say prayers. Amen. Many times you go to church and there's somebody that will say a prayer. And we go, man, that was a good prayer. He said it so good. Amen. But people today, I want to tell you, you could say a fancy prayer. You could read a prayer. But if you don't do a prayer, what is doing prayer? Prayer is more than me just saying something nice. Prayer is me just more than commanding God, demanding God, asking God. But it's when we connect with God. My question today, when's the last time God had your attention? When's the last time God had your affection? And when's the last time God had your availability? Amen. We pray wholeheartedly. We worship wholeheartedly. I have a friend that told me one time, I just don't get emotional. And I can remember hearing him excited because where I come from in South Louisiana, when the university that is in Baton Rouge, the Tigers win, I mean, they get all crazy. And they'll make good excuses to go get drunk. They could justify cussing and stripping down to hardly nothing and doing whatever immoral things. It's because the Tigers won. I want to tell somebody today, they would go berserk and go the wrong direction. Why can't we go the right direction and celebrate that our God has already won by a victorious life? Quit wasting your life and pouring your energy and your substance in something that's going to be left behind. You will never regret giving too much to God. You may regret not giving him enough. But I'm going to tell you, you can't out-bless God. You can't out-give God. Why waste your time? Time is short. Eternity is too long. Heaven is too wonderful. Hell is too terrible. Jesus paid too high a price. And the soul is too valuable. Choose today. Choose God. Choose obedience. Choose eternity. Be like Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I choose the eternal God. You know the reason why Deuteronomy says this in 33:27 of Deuteronomy? The eternal God is my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. You'll never know the everlasting arms if you don't ever hold the hand of the Lord and walk with him. If you never talk to him, you never have a relationship with him. What good is your salvation so-called experience? But we hold to the unchanging hand of God. You know, where you spend eternity will be determined where you invest your opportunity called time on earth. While we have time today, there's grace. And the Bible says we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Do you know that in the book of Revelation, when John the Revelator, the Lord began to reveal to him on the Isle of Patmos some conditional problems that were happening to the churches. One of the churches were wealthy. They were blessed by God's provisions. They had everything together. But this was people that the Lord had pulled out of darkness and changed. But somewhere in the place, the Lord said, I don't know you. And the Lord didn't say to the church there, the church. He looks at them and say, instead of saying, well done, enter in. He said, I don't know you. And if I don't know you, you can't enter in. Only the sheep that know my voice is going to enter into the kingdom. Nicodemus prayed. He was a praying man. He gave much alms to the people. But he did not have what he needed. So he came to Jesus and said, what must I do? Jesus said, you're a religious man. You pray. But Nicodemus, except you are born again, you would never enter or see the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. He said, don't be surprised. Don't marvel. I tell you, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I'm old. I don't have a living mama, he probably said. But Jesus said, you're missing it, Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again of the water and of the spirit. Are you thankful that day that you got born again? Amen. Oh, friend, no wonder Jesus was setting a pattern to Nicodemus, saying, you got to be born again of the water and of the spirit. Amen. Oh, and a little bit later we find Jesus had 12 disciples, and he began to teach them. He began to work on them, and one day he began to commission them that when you go forth today, I have anointed you to take this gospel and to spread it and to preach it to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And guess what? Even the Bible says they went forth to do that. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brother Brian, whenever your job tells you this is your duties, this is what you got to do, amen, and you're hired to do that. They were chosen to do his commission. Did Peter and the 11 obey what Jesus said? He gave the great commission. How important it is to go teach baptizing. That's the reason why some people say, you don't have to be baptized. Pardon me. What does the word say? Why did the Philippian jailer and his family get baptized in the middle of the night? Why did the Ethiopian in the middle of the desert say, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Why did Peter in Acts the 10th chapter, when the Cornelius and his household, whenever they, amen, when they came to Christ, when they repented and when they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, why did Peter said, can any man forbid them water which have received the Holy Ghost just like we did? And he commanded them to be baptized. Why did Acts 19, when Paul finds the disciples of John the Baptist, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And they said, we haven't even heard that there be any Holy Ghost. He said, how was you baptized? They said, by John the Baptist. If you think John the Baptist was I'll tell you, he did what he was doing. But guess what Paul commanded them to do? He commanded them to be baptized again. Commanded. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts the 2nd chapter. Most people write this off. Do you know Acts the 2nd chapter is the only place in the scripture, or the first place, let's put it this way, the first place in the scripture where after Jesus died, rose again, where people asked the question, what must I do? Peter, standing up with the 11, began to direct them in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38. What do we need to do? Peter said, first of all, you got to repent. Why did he talk about repent? Why didn't he hand him an ink pen and a church card and said, sign right here, you become a member of the church? Repeat this little prayer to me. Lord, forgive me my sins. I accept you. No, Peter didn't do that. Nowhere in the scripture it says you got to accept Christ to be your personal Savior. You know what it means? You got to repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. I thought, Romans 10 talks about confession, but Romans 10 was not written to blatant sinners. It was written to the church in Rome. Read Romans 10. But second chapter Acts, Peter stands up with 11 and preaches what Jesus commissioned them to preach, repentance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I want to tell you, in the scripture, it says baptism is for the remission of sin. And how did they baptize, Brother Pirtle? How did after Jesus gave them the great commission, how did the disciples baptize from thenceforth? They baptized, remember the great commission, go therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody say the name. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And every time thereafter, when they baptize, Acts 2:38, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Why did they use the name of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus said, I'm come in my Father's name. They knew then, Matthew 28:19, he wasn't talking about names of the Father, Son, and the Holy. He talked about a name. There is a name. Acts 4:12 says that is above every name. Let me quote it. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name. Would you repeat that with me? None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You will not get anywhere until you have the name. If my people, which are called by my name. This is bizarre, Pastor. Noah's Bible. 2:38, please. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said, repent. You got to turn. You got to let go of you. You can't just give your sin and say, God, wash me. Oh, scrub back here, Brother Brian. You know, right here, Lord. You know, yesterday, three weeks ago, I said some bad things. Get it out of my mind. Clean me up, Jesus. Polish me up, Jesus. No. Repentance means just don't give him your sin. Give him you as well. Has the Lord had the opportunity to have your mind? Amen. I was with a gentleman the other day, and he came to our house to buy watermelons. We sell watermelons at my home, and we're trying to do our building fund project there. And this man got out of the vehicle, and I mean, he was using all kind of, bad language. And he looked at me and he said, there's something different about you. And I don't like to tell him a lot of time I'm a preacher, pastor, whatever. I said, well, yes, I try to live right. And he said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes. He said, well, he didn't even know what kind it was. He said, well, I'm a Pentecostal. I said, you are? And since he said it, he gave me liberty. I said, and you were talking like that? You was using that kind of filthy language. He said, it wasn't perverted language. It was just, you know. I said, oh, you was just cursing. You said the name of the Lord and told God to go be destroyed. And he said, well, man, I'm saved. I said, not by your words. You're judging me. No. Your words judge you. Your deeds and your fruit judge you. The Bible says, amen, first examine yourself. And I began to talk to him. I said, man, you need to let God have your mouth. You need to let God have your mouth. God will make a difference when God has you. I'm telling somebody today, God is looking for an ultimate surrender. Peter said, repent. You can't get around that word, repent. Well, I confess I'm a sinner. You may confess that you're a sinner, but have you repented of your sin? You may say, oh, I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar. But friend, can God have you? And then be buried, baptized. Some of you, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of your sins. And what a deal. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Next verse, for the promise is unto you and unto your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's a promise. When you get the power of God living in your life, when you repent, you die. When you get baptized, you get buried. And when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you get the resurrection. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. My question today, have you died? Have you been buried? And have you rose again? Don't waste your life another day, because there's a promise that God gives you, and it won't stop with you. There's a power that God gives you. Acts 1:8, please. Amen. Listen to what the scripture begins to talk about here in Acts, the first chapter. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to ask the question today, do you have the power of God living in your life? Amen, that you can have the witness and the evidence of him. amen, alive in your soul. Would you stand with me in this place? My message today to you, amen, why waste your life? The greatest waste is when the Lord is not, amen, at the center of your life. Amen. You're just walking through this life and you're not living what God wants you to live. You're not getting what God wants you to get. Amen. But oh, what joy it is when somebody has Jesus on the inside and he's working on the outside. You see, Pentecostalism is more than ladies wearing dresses and men looking, you know, her hair short, amen, and our ladies' hair's long. It's more than just outside deal. Amen. When Brian Pirtle came to God, he had a little rat tail beard hanging down. He was all messed up that night. But oh, friend, he came one way and he left another way. Are you thankful that God still changes people? God will change you from the inside out. Hey, Jesus is still alive and well. Amen. He wants to make a change in your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. They're gone. And behold, all things are new. Don't waste your life another day. Amen. You can live and know the power of a risen Savior. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that Jesus is in this room right now. Amen. Would you close your eyes and somebody right now just with me? Amen. I want you to just open your heart. If you're wasting your life today, I want you today to make a turn. God wants you to make a turn. God wants you to reach to him. The author and the finishers of faith is here today. Amen. He's come to bless. He's come to minister. He's come to give somebody a breakthrough in their life. Amen. You've struggled with anxieties. You've struggled with different things in your life. You can't win. Amen. For losing. Amen. But today, but friend, amen, you can lose out to self and win with God when you surrender you. Lord, help us today in this place that we would give ourselves completely to you. That we would surrender, Lord, and repent of everything, Lord, and surrender it over to you. I pray in this place right now, Jesus, that you would help us to live and not waste our life. That we would invest and profit, Lord, our whole lives in the things of your word. I give you praise this morning, glory and thanks for the great promise and the great gift and the great power and the great benefits and the advantage that you give to the soul. We praise your name. We love you today, Jesus. You know what I want you to do with me right now? I want you to just come to the front as a congregation and stand around the front just for a moment. We're going to come to the front and we're going to lift our hands. We're going to lift our voices and we're going to give God praise because God's not letting our life go to waste. God has great investment. God's glories for us today. Hallelujah. What a privilege. Rebecca, what a privilege today to be able to lift your heart to God and say, God, you've done a mighty work in my life. God, you've kept me, you've blessed me, you've held me. God, help me to go through the test. You help me to go through the storm. You've taught me, you've led me, God, with grace. Your goodness has surrounded my life. You've filled my soul with so much. Hallelujah. Come on, it's easy to live for God when you give him everything. But when you hold you back, you become the loser. Don't hold yourself back today. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Would you surrender everything to him? Come on, it's worth it. Don't waste your life. Quit hanging on to problems. Quit hanging on to you. You'll never win by fighting the battle yourself. Give it to God today.
I surrender.
And I want you to mean it today.
I surrender.